Good song. That's an old song. I like old songs. That is very good. Let me announce something. On Wednesday nights at 7, I'm teaching a series on prophecy. Hope you can come and be a part of that. You know, it's a shame that in the day and time in which we live that pulpits become silent on certain matters. I don't think they ought to be. I don't think if God is silent on it, that pulpits ought to be silent on it either. And here we'll see the subject matter tonight about the truth about abortion, the truth about abortion. What does the Bible have to say about abortion? We're in Psalm 94, verse 21, as we read just a moment ago. Let me reread it for clarity's sake. Where the Bible says they gathered themselves together against the soul of the righteous to condemn the innocent blood. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 21, the Bible says, "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment." In just a little while, not too very long from now, the Supreme Court is going to have a ruling that's going to come out about Roe versus Wade. I want us to understand the very fabric of it. I want us to also understand about how abortions have not just been destructive here in America, but around the world. The Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 11 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Thou knowest this is not what is in the way of the spirit, nor," listen to this very carefully, "nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. Even so, thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all." And so man does not completely understand sometimes that which is the inner being of that which is the female during the time of holding, or if you would please, having that child. But God does know, and God makes it very clear about these matters. A matter of fact, God teaches us when life begins. Over in Psalm 139, at verse 13, the Bible says, "Thou hast covered me," it says, "in my mother's womb." And so, you see, it's talking about a person in the mother's womb. The Bible says in Psalm 139 and verse 19, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, that it says, my soul knoweth right well." The Bible says in Psalm 139 verse 15, "My substance was not hid," it says, "from thee, when I was made in secret." So God knows all. Listen to the descriptiveness of this found in verse 16. I'm in Psalm 139, verse 16. Very interesting how God gives us the description of that which is a child that is not one that is to be, but a child that is. The Bible says, "Thy eyes," it says, "did see my substance, yet being unperfect." Now, okay, so that's an embryo. That's a fetus, if you will, not yet fully formed. The Bible says this. The Bible says, "And in thy book, all my members," the word members there is describing the limbs of that which is an unborn child, "were written," it says, "which is continuance," the Bible says. So that's a period of time in continuance. The Bible says, "were fashioned," it says, "when as yet there was none of them." So not fully formed. All right. So this is talking about before the baby makes his or her exit from the mother's body. God recognizes that one as a living person. The Bible talks about how the Lord recognizes that person, if you would please, as a little fetus, but yet a person, if you would, that has not yet all the limbs or has not yet all the members, as you would see in the scripture. God is not a respecter of persons. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10 and verse 34, the Bible says here, talks about that that little one, if you would, "in that which is in the bosom of mom." The Bible says, "thine eyes," it says, "did see my substance." It says, "yet being unperfect," emphasizing this in Psalm 139 and verse 16. The Bible says, "and in thy book all my members were written." And so all the members members, the limbs, if you would please, has already been recorded in God's way. The Bible talks about there's life before birth. Think about this. The unborn before birth, consider these things. From the moment of conception, the baby has an individual identification. It has an identity before the baby, if you would please, comes forth. The baby has set genes, if you will, and microsomes. The Bible talks about chromosomes. The Bible talks about how these things are forming, if you would please, in that which is the bosom of the mom. Before implantation, you'll see that the baby's sex is already determined. It's not determined when they're in first grade. It's not determined by the child. It's not determined by how they feel. It's already determined inside that which is the mother, both medically and, if you would please, scientifically. At 19 days, if you will, after conception, you'll see the eyes begin to develop. At 24 days, the heartbeat begins. At 30 days, the unborn now, maybe only a quarter inch long, or if you will please, just very, very small, yet the brain begins to develop, the eyes, the mouth, the kidneys, the liver. At 35 days, the fingers begin to form. At 40 days, the brain waves begin to be able to detect and to record motion. At 7 weeks after conception, the baby begins to move spontaneously. At 10 weeks after the baby is conceived, you'll see that the baby begins to squint with the eyes, and you'll see that there is the baby begins to swallow and begins to have hiccups. And the fingerprints, by the way, at 10 weeks is there and will be there, not changing for the rest of the baby's life. At 12 weeks, you see the baby begins to respond to touch and begins to suck the thumb. At 4 months, you see that the ears are now beginning to fashion, and you'll see that they're able now to hear the voice of that which is the mother for the very first time. By the way, you'll see evidence of that in Luke chapter 1 and verse 41. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Elizabeth heard," it says, "the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb." So now all of a sudden, Elizabeth, which is the cousin of Mary, hears about the Lord. And if you will please, you'll see that the baby begins to leap in the womb. She, if you would please, he heard what was being said. By the seventh month, you'll see that he begins to see, begins to hear, begins to taste, and begins to touch, recognizes again the mother's voice. By the ninth month, the baby weighs between 6 and 9 pounds, and the heart is now beating to the fashion of 300 gallons of blood per day that is being pumped through the vessels of that little baby. So who is it, if you would please, that has these abortions? Well, according to world statistics, we see this, that over 42 million abortions took place in 2020. By the way, that's surpassing all the totals of those that perished in the world of all other leading causes of death. By comparison, you see, for those that had different types of diseases that died because of communicable type of diseases, the 13 million, I'm talking worldwide now, these are worldwide stats. And then you'll see that 8.2 million people worldwide lost their lives because of cancer. Worldwide, you'll see that 5.1 million to 2.5 million died because of smoke-related. I'm talking about smoking cigarettes or something that has to do with tobacco, and so they died because of that, or alcohol. Other leading causes of death in 2020 had to do with accidents and fatalities that happened on the road, 1.4 million. These are worldwide. Additional, there was suicides that people took their own lives around the globe in 2020, 1.1 million. Total deaths worldwide was 59 million people in 2020. The world, what they called the world-o-meter, registered that 42.4 million people died in 2019. The CDC snapshots this and says, revealing that 85% of abortions was committed by unmarried women, 14% was committed by married women. In 2019, unmarried women, now that was in 2020, but in 2019, unmarried women, it was 86%. That got abortions. Among those that got abortions, you'll see that there was a great number of them did it for selfish reasons. The Bible does talk about this over in Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 8. The Bible says, the way of peace they know not. The way of peace they know not. It says, there is no judgment in their goings. So they don't have right judgments in their goings. The Bible says, and have made them crooked paths. It says, whoso goeth therein shall not know peace. You think about this, the issue is not pro-choice or pro-life. No, that's not the issue. The issue is life and death. That's the issue. The Bible talks about we ought not to be concerned about what man thinks, but we ought to be concerned about the judge of all the earth and what he thinks. Genesis chapter 18 and verse 25. So what does the scripture say? You know, you think about this. You know, somebody's trying to be able to commit such a transgression, and I'll give some of the reasons why people go through some of this and how they actually outs God out of their life during these times. But these transgressions, if you would please, of these abortions that's been had, some people do it because they find themselves in despair, so they think. Others do it because of anger. Others do it because they deny that which is the right to the unborn. You think about the reality of that. It is still wrong in the eyes of God. Let me prove some things to you tonight. Statement number one, abortion is a sin against God and His perfect law. Abortion is a sin against God and His perfect law. Well, let's just take Genesis chapter 20 and verse 13, where the Bible says, thou shalt not kill. That should settle it. The Bible says, thou shalt not kill. By the way, the opposite of giving life is taking life or killing. You know, you think only God should have the ability to be able to give or take life. He's the creator of all in heaven and earth. Matter of fact, John 1 and 3 says this. It says, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. John 1 and 4, the Bible says, in Him was life, and the life was, it says, the light of men. Well, when somebody commits an abortion, as we talk about it being a sin against God, abortion destroys, if you would please, the miracle of creation, the gift that God gives, which is the gift of life. Abortion disregards, if you would please, the process of birth, which God engineered to be able to bring life in its full circle. Abortion robs God, if you will, of that which is His sovereignty, in that He being the one that should be the only one that gives life and ends it by way of death. Abortion robs God of the pleasure, and if you would, it takes away from that which is Him seeing a child, which was His will to be born and to be able to grow and come to know Christ as Savior and to grow up and to have a bountiful life, understanding both faith and grace. Abortion robs God, if you would please, of that which is a lifetime of a person being able to give Him honor and being able to give Him glory and to be able to honor Him with their life. So abortion is a sin against God and His perfect law. Statement number two, abortion is a sin against ourselves. Abortion is a sin against ourselves. It's the sin that destroys a whole being, a whole being. You know, the Bible talks about over in the book of Romans chapter 2 and verse 28, the Bible says, which is outward in the flesh. Well, it destroys that. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16, it talks about the inner man, the core man, if you would please, the heart, the core. It destroys that. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 36, the Bible says, "He that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul." So when a person commits an abortion, what is happening is they're sinning against themselves because they're wronging their own soul. The Bible says, "All they that hate me love death." You know, they say that those that commit an abortion sometimes will have that which is after effects. I wrote down some of the things that I found that are common symptoms post-abortion. These would be judgments that a person goes through, such as guilt. Guilt. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 9, the Bible says, "Thou shalt put away," it says, "the guilt of the innocent from among you." And so sometimes a person, after they come to the realization that an abortion is wrong, they suffer for a prolonged amount of time with that inner wrestling of guilt. Sometimes they go through depression, knowing what they did and coming to the full reality of it, they'll go through depression. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 13, the Bible talks about, "By the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." Sometimes they'll go through grief. The Bible says over in Jeremiah 45 and verse 3, the Bible says, "Woe is me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow." So sometimes they'll go through grief after an abortion. Sometimes they face shame. They face shame. The Bible talks about this over in Ezra chapter 9 and verse 6. The Bible says, "Oh my God," he says, "I am ashamed." And he says, "And I blush to lift up my face to thee, my God." So sometimes they'll face shame because of that. Sometimes there's a nervousness or an anxiety, if you will, when a person goes through an abortion and they look back. Where the Bible says here in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 14, the Bible says the evil spirit from the Lord troubleth her. Sometimes there's that which is a confession, if you will, a concentratingness about it where it just is there all the time. They just feel like they just got to tell somebody what they did to confess it over and over again. It goes along with that troubling spirit. Daniel chapter 9 and verse 8, the Bible says, "O Lord," it says to me, it says, "belongeth confession of the face." All right. Sometimes there's anger, where it says that the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, James chapter 1 and verse 20. So sometimes a person that goes through an abortion, they're angry at themselves all the time. They're always beating themselves up on the inside. Sometimes there's fear. The Bible talks about that in Psalm 55 and verse 5. The Bible says that the fearlessness, the Bible says, and the trembling that has come upon me, the horror, it says, hath overwhelmed me. Sometimes there's flashbacks. A person has flashbacks. It talks about that in Isaiah 59 and verse 12, where the Bible says, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee." Sometimes there's problems communicating with other family members that have children after they have an abortion. They have difficulty in being able to relate with other people that have children. The Bible says over in Psalm 64 and verse 8, the Bible says, so they make their own tongues to fall upon themselves. Sometimes they have trouble sleeping at night. The Bible says that there is no peace, saith the Lord, it says, to the wicked, Isaiah chapter 57 and verse 21. Sometimes they have trouble eating disorders, if you would please, eating disorders. The Bible says that their table has become a snare before them over in Psalm 69 and verse 12. Sometimes there's the pain, there's the mental anguish, there's the physical disparity. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 30, verse 16, sin, it says, shall have great pain. And then it talks about, and shall have distresses daily. Sometimes there's that physical numbness. And these are all testimonies, if you would please, of people that have had abortions and things that they face. Sometimes there's that mental and that physical numbness. Well, the Bible talks about that in Acts chapter 28 and verse 27. The Bible says the heart of his people is waxed gross and the eyes are dull, it says, and are closed. And it talks about how the ears are dull of hearing. Sometimes they have hallucinations. They'll hallucinate hearing a baby cry at night. Isaiah chapter 33 and verse 18, the Bible says, thine heart shall meditate terror. Sometimes they have nightmares. They dream, and ladies have said this, they dream of babies being dismembered, if you will. The Bible talks about they shall be not delivered from their quiet for fear of evil, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. Sometimes there's substance abuse. They get into liquor. They get into drugs to try to compensate for the things that they're facing that disturbs them greatly on the inside. Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 1, the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Sometimes they have suicidal thoughts. Job 3 and verse 21, Job 7 and verse 15, the Bible says, which long for death, but it cometh not, that chooseth to strangle in death rather than life. And so they have these suicidal thoughts. Sometimes they commit suicide. The Bible talks about that in Isaiah 38 and verse 10, where the Bible says, and I said in the cutting off of my days. So they actually commit the suicide. So abortion is a sin against God and against His perfect law. Abortion is a sin against ourselves. Think about this. Abortion is a sin against another human being. It's a sin against another human being. Listen to this, if you will. Over in 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 25, the Bible says, and if a man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. So abortion's ultimate sin is against the innocent. Against the innocent. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 7, the Bible says, the feet that run to evil and to make haste to shed innocent blood. Abortion is commonly used, if you would please, but it really, in reality, is murder. Genesis chapter 42 and verse 22, it says, I spake not unto them, saying, it says, do not sin against the child, the Bible says, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Somebody wrote this years ago. It's called the daily, think about this, the daily diary of an unborn child. Here's what they said. October 5th, today my life began. My parents did not know me yet. I'm small as a seed, like the seed of an apple. But I'm really here. I'm glad that I'm a girl. I think one day I'll have blonde hair and blue eyes. Just to be able to know what I might be one day brings happiness to my heart. October 19th, someday, I'll be alive as far as the world is concerned, but today I'm alive. I'm inside my mother. She might not know that I exist yet, but I'm a real person. Oh, I might be as small as a crumb of bread, but truly, I'm alive. My mother is, and I am too. October 23rd, my mouth is just beginning to open. Just think, about a year from now, I'll be laughing and I'll be talking and I'll be singing as I walk down a street somewhere. I know what my first words will be. My first words will be, I love Mama. October 25th, my heart began to beat. Inside of me, there's a gentle little beat. Oh, not recognized quite yet, but it's life, and it's going to beat the rest of the days of my life. November 2nd, I'm growing a little bit day by day. My arms and my legs are beginning to take some form of shape. Won't be long until I'm able to hug my mama and hug my daddy. November the 12th, my fingers are beginning to grow. It's funny now, they're ever so small. But one day I'll be able to take my fingers and stroke my mother's hair. I'm looking forward to that day. November the 20th. Today, for the first time, the doctor told my mother that I was alive underneath her heart. Oh, how happy Mama must be to know that she carries me underneath her heart. November the 25th. My mom and my dad probably are thinking right now what to name me. Oh, I hope they chose a good name. I like the name Kathy, if she and Daddy would name me that. It's a really big deal to me. December the 10th, my hair is beginning to grow. It's smooth and it's bright and it's shiny. And one day Mama will be able to stroke my hair. December the 13th, oh, they're about to see that one day I'm going to be just the child they always wanted. Right now I'm surrounded in darkness, but one day I'll see the sunshine. I'll be able to see the flowers. Oh, I can't wait till Mom and I can go out and work in the garden together. December the 24th, I wonder if Mom hears the whispering of my heart. I wonder what it's going to be like to be able to walk close to her. Oh, my heart is strong. I'm healthy. Some children will not be healthy like I am. My mother's going to be so proud of me. December the 29th, today, my mother killed me. How sad. May I say, every child deserves the right to live. I'll say that again. Every child deserves the right to live. Abortion is a sin, I said, against God and His perfect law. Abortion is a sin against ourselves. Abortion is a sin against another human being. Abortion is a sin against society. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Abortion became a legal operation on January the 22nd, 1973. The Supreme Court voted on that day 7-2, and it became legal. When I was preparing this message 2 weeks ago, I looked on May the 6th, 2022, and the total abortions in America since that date of 1973 is 63,459,781. You can go to what they call usabortionclock.org, and it gives a countdown of all the abortions that's taking place in the U.S. at the given time. I wonder how many of those were going to be preachers. I wonder how many of those were going to be missionaries. I wonder how many of those were going to be evangelists or teachers. I wonder how many presidents have been aborted. I wonder how many vice presidents. I wonder how many inventors never had a chance to invent. I wonder how many diseases could have been kept away, yea, even brought to an annihilation, an end, but the doctors were aborted, the nurses was aborted, the scientists were aborted, the lawyers were aborted, the farmers were aborted, the policemen were aborted, the businessmen were aborted, the women were aborted, the engineers were aborted, the military personnel was aborted. I'm saying this, that abortion is a sin against society. And then statement number last, and I'm done, that you can find forgiveness and healing after an abortion. You can find forgiveness and healing after an abortion. Oh, it's wrong. It ought not ever be done. But if it is ever done, God is a loving God and God is a caring God. A person can be able to find forgiveness and healing after an abortion has taken place. Let me give you a couple of statements and a couple of scriptures, and I'm done. Statement number one, God will forgive you. God will forgive you. My mother, when I got a little bit older, my mother said now, and she, this was after Mama got saved, she said this, she said, now Mike, when you get to heaven, you'll meet your other brothers. I said, what are you talking about? I've got three brothers. Oh, she said, yeah, but they're here. She said, now, she said, if you die before your brothers, when you get to heaven, you'll see your other brothers. And my mom had four miscarriages, had the names picked out, knew that they were boys. And she said, so you got four brothers here, or you got three brothers here on earth. She said, you have four brothers in heaven. She said, I would have had eight boys. All right, now, can I tell you, the Bible talks about how a person that when that person died, you know, David said this. Now, he had a little boy. You remember that? David had a little boy. He said, You remember the little boy was sick. You remember that? And David prayed. Oh, he fasted and prayed. He shaved his head and bathed himself in sackcloth and ashes and just prayed and prayed and prayed. And then all of a sudden now, he fasted and prayed that God would heal the boy. And God did not heal the boy. And so the servants came in and said, well, why are you eating? He said, you know, to be honest with you, he said, let me just tell you, I can never bring that boy to me, but one day I'll go to be with that boy. So when a person has a baby through a miscarriage, we've had many, many, many people here, many ladies here that's had miscarriages in our church family, and we love you and we hurt for you. We hurt for the Halladeer family right now. We hurt for Amy. We hurt for Ethan. And we hurt for everybody that goes through that. But you know, here's the deal. One day, you'll see that baby again. You'll see that baby again. But what about a person that commits an abortion, however? You know, can they be forgiven? I mean, it's a sin. It's a sin against God. It's a sin against themselves. It's a sin against society. It's a sin against humanity. Could they ever be forgiven? Well, that's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all, A-double-L, unrighteousness. The Bible says that God can restore joy and give you a free spirit again. David, of course, got away from the Lord and had sin. And the Bible says this over in Psalm 51 and verse 12. Restore unto me the joy, it says, of thy salvation. Behold, it says, and uphold, it says, me, it says, with a free spirit. And so God helped him with his joy. God helped him with his spirit. And then you'll see this, that God's word does heal. God's word does heal. Over in James chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible says, wherefore, it says, lay apart. It says, all filthiness and superfluity. The Bible says, and naughtiness. And it says, receive in meekness the engrafted word. It says, which is able to save your souls. So God can heal you. He can save your soul. He can heal you. The Bible talks about how the Holy Spirit can comfort you. John chapter 14 and verse 26, the Bible says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, it says, whom the Father will send in my name, he says he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. And the last verse is this, we see this, that Christian friends can help you. Christian friends can help you. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, the Bible says that a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. Born for adversity. So when somebody goes through that, which is the pain of having an abortion, can I tell you, you've got people that will love you and help you and work beside you and bring you to a place of healing. And that's what Christians do, to be able to help other people as well. Now, can I tell you, it's wrong. It's wrong. Should never be done. Should never be done. You know how many people? I think John and Heather, they prayed for 9 years, and then Hallie came along, and they adopted a little girl. Now, can I tell you what? There's many people out there, many people out there. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, I just don't want the child. Well, have the child and put the child up for adoption through a Christian institution, and allow people, if you would please, that were raised that child in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, have the ability to be able to adopt that child, so that they can be raised the way that God wants them raised. Now, can I tell you this? There are many ways to be able to receive help. To be able to receive help. It won't be long, till the Supreme Court justices will gather together there in the courtroom, and they'll make their final decision. Boy, it would be good if they make the right one. If you're in a Baptist church, you can say amen. We're not going to get mad at you. Okay, it'd be good, I said, if they make the right one. Amen. And it would be good if it would change. Oh, you hear the liberals and they got their little signs and dancing around and hollering and screaming, you know, and they're jumping up and down and they're throwing little fits. All right, now wait a minute though. But somebody just needs to say, this is what God says, and that settles it. This is the way it should be. All right, now can I tell you the way it should be is that we pray that God would protect the minds of those Supreme Court justices that's going to be able to cast their individual votes to be able to stop this horrible, horrible thing in America that's called abortion.